Welcome to Damon Bruce Plus, Thursday, October 23rd, and not even 48 hours into the NBA's regular season, a nightmare has gotten out of bed with the league this morning, and nobody is talking about Victor Wembanyama's unbelievable highlight reel performance last night. Nobody's talking about Cooper Flagg's debut. Nobody's even talking about, hey, the Knicks. Hey, the Knicks won. No, it's almost, there is no room in sports for anything other than the story that broke this morning about the NBA, the FBI, the mob, and poker, all apparently being at the same table together. And we're going to get into it all today. Welcome to Damon Bruce Plus. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on by. What an interesting day we got. Like, we'll get to a little bit of 49ers and we'll get to a little bit of the World Series getting underway. Kind of an interesting note about baseball to share with you a little bit later on. But this is a story that has been consuming me all morning, and I have been all over it. And I've watched and read everything that I could get my hands on so I can basically discern to you what is going on here in a story that's got an awful lot of tentacles to it. So before we get anywhere, let me again thank you for being here. You could be anywhere this morning, but you choose to be here. That means an awful lot to me. When you're thinking about lunch, I want you to choose Ike's. That would mean an awful lot to him and you, since you're the one who's going to be actually eating lunch. You're going to want it to be a great lunch, and there's nothing but great lunches and dinners and sandwiches waiting for you at Ike's. Check it out. Get there as soon as you can. My man and his restaurant is about to turn 18 years old. Coming up on Halloween, I love Ike's. Get that Phantom Dutch Crunch if you want it while you're at it. Get the purple bread for the season. Good times all around, especially when you head on over to the Dubliner West portal. Say hello to Kenny and John for me. Maybe that's where you're going to be watching the Warriors home opener tonight. Maybe game one of the World Series on Friday night. Maybe the 49ers game over the weekend. I don't know. But if you head to the Dubliner, you're going to be happy that you're there. I can promise you that. Dubliner, West Portal, San Francisco, enough said. Love that place. How ironic that we're about to talk about how sports and gambling are now forever linked together for good or bad. Well, I need to tell you that Sleeper is another proud sponsor here during football season. And I can only tell you that it is the world's fastest growing fantasy site. I don't know if Terry Rozier checked it out or not, but look, there is an awful lot of fun to be had on Sleeper. Do so responsibly. If you are currently a Portland Trailblazer, you shouldn't be using it at all. If you're Terry Rozier, if you're a member of the Miami Heat, you shouldn't be using it at all. If you're an NBA player and you're trying to give advice over how many minutes you might get tonight, you shouldn't do that either. It's like insider trading. Anyways, you get a $100 deposit match right now, up to $100 on Sleeper, a free 20 just waiting for you there. And yes, I am absolutely aware of the beautiful irony of that just happening before I sit down to talk to you about how entangled sports and gambling have become. You know, I mean, we had generations of everybody in sports who couldn't agree on anything all agree that you can't have gambling around sports. It's the one, do not go, cannot go there. Not only is it a morality issue, but it's a integrity issue around the way our games are played, officiated, blah, blah, blah. And all of that is real. And everyone believed every word of it right up until somebody said gambling in sports is cool now. And then every single argument against it was replaced by the pile of money that all of a sudden everybody was making because of this new Pandora's box that they were willing to open. Let's talk about what's going on here, because we have two different things going on here. We got a Warriors home opener tonight, like the show that I thought I was going to be doing. Nick Friedell joined me last night. We had a great conversation about the NBA. This story did not break until this morning. We didn't say a word about it because we didn't know. I mean, the last thing I knew is that Terry Rozier had been cleared of any wrongdoing by the NBA. And I guess that's just further proof that it's always a little tough to investigate yourself. I will say this. That's a wonderful sip of the day right there. That coffee is right. This is simultaneously the most shocking and least shocking story we've seen in a long time. The Department of Justice in Eastern District of New York announced numerous arrests in an illegal sports betting and poker game scams. 31 defendants in all at this particular time. Everyone expects this list to grow. Indicted in a scheme involving rigged illegal poker games that were run by the mob, rigged with tech, and then the information was sent to somebody back at that table. And this is what Chauncey is dealing with this morning. It is very important. It is very, very important that we separate what is going on here. There is Terry Rozier. His case relates to inside information affecting that night's player props and sports betting. Chauncey Billups's case relates to him, and I guess we'll find out more, either being completely coerced into doing something that he had no idea that he was doing or he was in on it the entire time. I guess we will find out. But basically, Chauncey Billups, what I'm sure his lawyers are saying today, was that he was the face that invited other players to a gambling situation that he was not aware was rigged. That's what his lawyers are going to be going with, whether it's true or not. I'd like to think there is some truth to that. I'd like to think that, you know, Chauncey Billups isn't the kind of guy who's inviting his friends to a rigged poker game. But I don't know. I don't know. Damon Jones, the third NBA player that involved with this, apparently is an overlapping defendant in both of these cases. In other words, he used a little inside information from Terry, and he might have been at one of these poker games with Chauncey. But this is Rozier on possible game manipulation. Again, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers is not being accused of any NBA game manipulation at all here. This is a poker thing. So don't say that, you know, they're coming down on Chauncey for gambling on NBA games. That is not what's happening. It's two different things. The larger iceberg that I cannot stop thinking about, and anyone logically cannot stop thinking about, is, so this is what we know. What we know about crimes is always completely dwarfed by what we don't know. If Terry Rozier, a guy who's made $160 million in his career, you know, can be tempted by this, how about your, you know, your 10-day contracts? How about your fly-by-night fringe of roster players? What is their, you know, incentive to not do this? I've also seen the question, why would somebody who has already earned so much, can never win more gambling than you have earned playing in this league, why would you ever tamper with your ability to make a living in this league? And the answer to that is, this is why gambling is an addiction. It's really not a choice you're making. It has nothing to do with, and you've thought about it and you've decided after careful consideration of the issue, it's impulsive. And a lot of people who have found success in their lives ain't even in it for the rake. They're in it for the juice. It's not about the money. It's about the action. Highly competitive men and women in all fields of life are addicted to the action as much as the actual rake of winning. Let's just go quickly through Chauncey's bit of this. You know, this feels like it could be a larger iceberg for the card-playing subculture that, by the way, is not exclusive to the NBA in any way, shape, or form. The whole iceberg is, when does the FBI start turning its attention now to other sports? you know, baseball players, they've got prop bets. They like playing poker on team planes. NFL teams, same thing. But apparently what was going on here was that Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones were accused of serving as the face cards, if you will, for a rigged poker scheme run by New York's Italian crime families. This isn't fringe mob. This is straight up Cosa Nostra. This is straight up like Gambino crime family, no shit, Marlon Brando in a dark room with wooden shades pulled down, cotton in his jowls, mob shit. Mob. Capital M. O-B mob. Players were trapped in unwinnable card games using marked cards, special glasses, x-rays, and electronic chip trays. Mob used former players and celebrities to tout their games to bring in larger wallets to the table. And again, this is where we reach the question. What did Chauncey know? Did Chauncey know, hey, me and all of my friends are always looking for big action in a card game, and I heard this game had big action in it, so we're here tonight? Was Chauncey told, hey, for every player that you put around the table, we'll give you $1,000 in chips? Was Chauncey in on it at all? Was he a victim himself at these card games that he did not know he was rigged, that he just didn't know they were rigged? If he knew it all, if Chauncey knew it all, if this investigation shows that Chauncey was in on the fact that this game was rigged, then we're never going to hear from him again, certainly as a coach. He's already been suspended indefinitely, as is Terry Rozier. But he is never going to probably be like heard from. You end up in an unmarked grave in a Nevada desert if you are a gambler rigging poker games like that. I do know that no one, whether he's guilty or not, nobody's showing up to the next poker night at Chauncey's house. No one. It is, he is either a pawn in a bigger operation or he's in on it. That is how the road forks. He knew absolutely nothing. He knew it all. Let's see where that goes. Let's see where that goes with Chauncey Billups. Now, when it comes to Terry Rozier, who just got cleared in an NCAA or in an NBA investigation several months ago during the summer, Pablo Torre comes out saying that there is a person on Twitter who knows an awful lot about Terry Rozier's gambling habits and has documented it. And all you had to do was know the line in the game, know Terry Rozier's position in terms of an individual player prop, and then watch this compiled highlight package to instantly think something's not right. Something's not right. To the point where when the news came that the NBA had cleared Terry Rozier of the investigation, I thought, how? I mean, man, you know, there eyewitnesses are lousy, I guess, because I thought I was seeing it too. That looked like abnormal NBA play outside the premise of legitimate competition in a moment. That was a thrown away bad turnover that made no sense. That was totally looked like he was trying to get a double dribble called against him to turn the ball over. That was, without a doubt, him taking a yoicks away three in a moment that didn't call for it other than his own player prop was on the line or the team number was on the line. Like, there is an awful lot of weird highlights associated with Terry Rozier. NBA said, we looked at it all. We're good. Well, to be cleared by the NBA is one thing. Again, can't investigate yourself. And then to be investigated by the FBI is something totally different. So here's how involved Pablo Torre's original story is in all this. Terry Rozier actually already sent to Pablo Torre the following message. On March 23rd, 2023, the FBI alleged that Charlotte Hornet player Terry Rozier told members. This is what the FBI came out with. Then I'll get to Rozier's lawyer's response. The FBI alleges that Hornets player Terry Rozier told members of the Italian Mafia that he would leave a game early due to injury. Those Mafia members then placed more than $200,000 of bets on Rozier's under for that game, taking home tens of thousands of dollars in profits when Rozier left the game with an apparent injury after 9 minutes. The Mafia members were then invited to Rozier's personal residence where they gathered to count their cash winnings. Again, it was a really good plan until you are started like taking notes on your criminal conspiracy. I feel like Stringer Bell. Are you taking notes on a criminal conspiracy? So Terry Rozier's lawyer writes to Pablo Torre saying, quote, "We have represented Terry Rozier for over a year, and a long time ago, we reached out to those prosecutors to tell them that we should have an open line of communication. They characterized Terry as a subject, not a target, but at 6 a.m. this morning, they called to tell me FBI agents were trying to arrest him in a hotel. It is unfortunate that instead of allowing him to self-surrender, they opted for the photo op. They wanted the misplaced glory of embarrassing a professional athlete with a perp walk. That tells you an awful lot about the motivations in this case. They appear to be taking the word of spectacularly incredible sources rather than relying on actual evidence of wrongdoing. Terry was cleared by the NBA, and these prosecutors revived that non-case. Terry is not a gambler, but he is not afraid to fight, and he looks forward to winning this fight." That is from Jim Trusty, the attorney for Terry Rozier. I don't believe it.
I'm going to go back to the highlight reel that I saw where Terry Rozier would be playing one way throughout a game, and then all of a sudden he would start playing another way. There is something there for sure. Again, say whatever you want about Cash Patel, his googly eyes, how much you trust any of it, him, this, that, the other thing. This all sounds plausible. I mean, it really does. It absolutely does, to the point where we have been doing shows for years talking about the when Pandora's box officially cracks open, what it might look like. And these are the kind of things that I've been saying all along could probably happen. I've got somebody in the comments. Early on in the show today, before the show even started, this comes from Patrick Patton, who says, "I don't want to hear any talking head media or player say the notion of games being fixed is ridiculous and treat us like we're idiots when we say we see something with our own two eyes." I think from a player standpoint, yeah, you might be right about that. From an officiating standpoint, I just think that there's a lot of bad officials officiating a game that's hard to officiate in real time. By the way, if you can at any point in time then circle an NBA official involved in any of this, if we can at one point in time identify a ref being involved in this, then the whole league's going to go away. Like, that would burn it all down. That might be unrecoverable. Or I don't know. Do we have standards anymore? I don't even know. All I know is that this is the biggest poo-poo platter that has ever been served to Adam Silver. How he goes about untangling his sport from gambling is going to be an impossibility. There is no way to untangle. Here's the thing. Like I said earlier on in the show, everybody in sports knew that gambling and sports together was a bad thing. And they still knew it the day that they got their check from, you know, DraftKings or whatever participating partner. And by the way, this is media. And it's not just these teams. This is sports media. It's especially sports broadcasting. You know, as advertising dried up everywhere, you had the new sports gambling industry shoveling money into the furnace of broadcasting budgets. And I'm going to tell you, the money, there is no like going back. There's no return. The money that sports got from gambling has already been spent. Like, there is no, hey, we got this one wrong. Let's just cancel DraftKings, cancel Sleeper, cancel everything, and we're just going to go back. It's all illegal again. If you want to bet on a game, you've got to fly to Vegas or Reno. That's it. Like, there's no going back. So what do? Put out tiny little fire after tiny little fire after tiny little fire forever? It seems like that's going to be it. This is not now a tiny little fire. And I'm going to tell you, the real fun hasn't even begun yet. And the real fun, I think, officially starts when guys start rolling on each other. And that brings us to Gilbert Arenas, who is not a name involved in this at all, but Gilbert had his own private poker game busted up. Illegal. It's illegal to profit from to be the house in a poker game, unless you're a casino. I guess Gilbert was the house in his own poker games. He goes, he gets arrested. He turns himself in, and then he walks out smiling ear to ear. I wonder what Gilbert sang about. There was a guy on Twitter who earlier today, hold on, let me get this up right here. I want to get this right, because I think I talked him through it pretty well. I said, breaking, NFL and baseball players play poker too. I wonder where this story goes. Card players have their own subculture on team planes. Do you want to know why it's really easy to roll or knock over or take down a card game for a criminal? Who's calling the police? Hello, police. Yeah, I'm a married man in Las Vegas, and I would like to report that a hooker stole my Rolex last night. That call doesn't go in. When you're doing something that you know is illegal in the first place, You don't get to call the cops when you think something went wrong. There are guys I've heard more off the record stories of back of the plane, NBA, Major League, and NFL gambling. I mean, you wouldn't believe the money that is changing hands. You wouldn't believe how much money is gambled on a golf course by these guys. Again, it's all proportionate. It seems like an awful lot of money to me or you. For them, you know, a $50,000 bet is a $5 bet. Anyway, so I say, who knows where this story goes? Who knows what's going on here? Where does this eventually go? And then some guy named Ricky says, this isn't close to what's happening. You're naive if you're using this type of poker game as your argument. No. I wasn't. You are putting words and thoughts in my head. What I'm telling you is that here, but here's what I said to him, because he thinks things are completely far removed from each other. Let me connect you to a completely innocent, not mobbed up at all, three dudes back of the plane playing cards. Let me connect that to Chauncey Billups in a small handful of sentences. So, I see you're a big card player, says player one to player two. Player two says, yes, I like playing cards. Player number one says, do you like high stakes? Player number two says, yeah, I like high stake poker games. As a matter of fact, those are my favorites. Hey, did you hear about that game that Chauncey is inviting guys to? See how fast that was? In three sentences, all of a sudden, any NBA player might be hearing. I wonder how many NBA players knew about this before the NBA did this morning. I wonder how many NBA players are completely aware of the nonstop circle of off-the-record, behind-door, closed-books card games that go on in locker rooms, on team planes, and team buses, and team hotel rooms. There is a subculture in the NBA around gambling, around pussy, around you know, basically, there are three fights that happen in NBA locker rooms. Fights about minutes, fights about chicks, fights about gambling debts. That happens. That's it. Those are basically the three arguments that teams have internally. It's about a gambling debt, it's about a chick, or man, I'm not happy with my minutes. It wouldn't take long for a guy like Chauncey Billups to get word out that, man, the next time you're in New York City, I know this place that's running a great poker game, great stakes, nice room, can trust everything, everyone in it, go ahead. Meanwhile, they got x-ray machines at that game. Again, what did Chauncey know? What did he know? Yeah, Wemby was incredible last night, Scott. Forget about being incredible. I've never even seen anything like that. I've never even seen a dude like that with a handle like that putting the boogie on dudes at the top of the fucking key, driving to the lane, Euro-stepping from the three-point line into a layup, playing a level of you best not come in here defense. I mean, Wembanyama, we've never seen anything like him before on the planet as a basketball player. Like, you know, imagine Yao Ming plays like Steph Curry. Imagine. That's what, Yao Ming is now Steph Curry. That's freaking Wembanyama. It's insane. But nobody's talking about that today. And this is the NBA's major nightmare. We're 48 hours into the season, and it has hit the fan, man. Fair enough. Can't wait for that sleeper ad, right? Today's show brought to you by Sleeper Picks. I hear you. I'm part of the problem. But guess what? I'm no sucker. I know how to gamble responsibly. I am not a Miami Heat player, and I'm not the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. I'm guessing neither of you, any of you are either, unless Chauncey is watching today or Terry's tuning in. Thank you for being here. I'm guessing you got YouTube. Here's my advice. Here's my professional gambling advice. Lay off the NBA. Lay off the NBA. I'm not going to bet another. I bet a little opening night. I'm just laying out the NBA from here on out. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't think I trust the play. I don't trust it. Scott's doing what he can. It's like I bought a Blue Jays cap on Monday to try to ward off the Doyers. I mean, get some poutine if you need to. What's the most Canadian thing you could possibly do between now and first pitch of game one of the World Series? Go do that. Maybe wear snowshoes to work in California. I mean, Joseph says, the marriage of gambling in these leagues is a recipe for disaster. Yeah, and everyone knew. That's why every single shred of time that has ever been spent thinking about it right up until, you know, the decision to allow it to happen was, I mean, it was the universal consensus. Of course, there can't be any gambling in sports. What's crazy is just yesterday, the NCAA actually loosened its theory of college kids betting on professional sports. I mean, this is so set up to go wrong. This is just the tip. Where does this go? If this is happening in the high rollers room, how about the, all the college kids who are, you know, the equivalent of, you know, gamblers rolling into Vegas from a trailer park in Arkansas? How many guys are doing the exact same thing Terry Rozier did, but they're doing it for $20, $30? So the, you know, AI forensic scientist that detects a whole bunch of betting abnormalities, you know, it doesn't start pinging and going off. It's, I don't know what sports is going to do about this, but here's the thing. I ain't in charge of sports. It's not my problem. The way I want to look at this is talking about how you and I are just being fed to the machine on this because it's happening to you and me. Now, hopefully, I've got the discipline, and hopefully you got the discipline to know when to back away from something that is tempting or addictive because it's not the right time. And by the way, I am no, like, you know, purist. I think gambling should be legal, but it shouldn't be so widespread and so readily available and so pushed into the minds of a younger generation as just totally normal. I mean, I remember as a kid, I had to be told about Vegas. This was this place that you can go and do things that you can't do in other places because it's still the wild, wild west out there. And it was like, wow, you can do that out there? Well, maybe if I ever want to do that, I'll go do that out there. You know, I couldn't be a 14-year-old kid banging overs and unders on a phone app. I had a rotary kitchen phone. It didn't have frickin' sleeper on it. Michael McCann is a guy who writes about sports law. And he sees this as a coming public health crisis. You know, maybe not the level of public health crisis of opioids, but what made opioids dangerous is that you got addicted to them. You know, it wasn't just a one time, I want to feel all nice, lightheaded, and buzzy. No, you got addicted to them. You kept on coming back to them because it was readily available. It was easy, and it was a little bit of fun. These are things that are cooked into addictive things. And in our lives, things that have been addictive have come with strict warnings attached to them. Not some throwaway token 1-800 Gamblers Association number that, you know, you'll scroll for a half a tick on a 30-second commercial. There you go. There's your element of responsibility. It's like a hardly readable, drink responsibly little tagline that they put on a Budweiser ad. Like, oh, thanks. Harry Levent at the Northeastern University School for Laws of Public Health Advocacy Institute writes, what we're looking at is the total normalization of a known addictive product. Does it get any more normalized than when a 9-year-old kid visits Fenway Park and sees MGM and DraftKings just right there on the green monster? Think of any other addictive product. With every other product, the government seeks to regulate the advertising, the distribution, the promotion, and consumption to keep the public safe. With gambling, governments have become a financial partner. So what we continue to see is the onus being placed on the individual. Just bet responsibly. Just be smart about it. It's on you. This is, by the way, this is the fallacy of recycling. This is the fallacy of recycling. By the way, recycle, just separate your plastics and your metal, but really, the job of recycling shouldn't be on us as the end product of the consumer. It should be way, 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 way up in front of the actual manufacturing process. That's where the recycling should be happening. It shouldn't be on us to get it right at the very, very end. It should be the entire process, but they put it all on you. You know? It's like, again, you go to Las Vegas. You leave your hotel room, and I always turn off the TV and I turn out the lights. Why am I doing that? Why? Have you ever been along? I mean, like, dude, if the flamingo is not going to turn off the lights on its entrance, I mean, like, they're not turning off the lights all night long on the frickin' Well, I don't even know if the Mirage volcano's there anymore. I think it's gone now. But I mean, like, there is no concern about electrical consumption in Las Vegas. But me, I'm like, oh man, I got to do something. I'm going to turn the lights off. What am I, you know, I'm not going to affect it at all. You got to handle all this gambling being thrown at your head. It's up to you to handle it. And if you don't, you're a loser, by the way, because everybody else is handling it. Well, I'm telling you, stories like this are just the harbinger of things to come. You know, today, Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, handful of players from the NBA. Tomorrow, maybe it gets bigger. But I really, you know, again, I don't care about that. We do know that these leagues provide so much entertainment. People are coming back no matter what. It's not going to, you know, again, tonight's Warriors tickets have not bottomed out because of this story. they're still going for full face value. But it's seriously like up to everyone to realize that there are smarter, sinister, programmed, systematic forces working against you at all times here to tempt you to keep on going. It's all over the place. By the way, free $20 entry free on Sleeper. Just throwing that out there. That's real. You know, I wish I had a level of independence where here's the thing. You want to know why Pablo Torre said I can't work for DraftKings? Because he was working on this story and he knew that this was coming. So he's like, man, I got to sever myself from any and all gambling anything. What's crazy is tonight, how do you think they're going to cover this Terry Rozier story as the Miami Heat are brought to you on the South Florida DraftKings Sports Network? Today when Mike Greenberg was talking about this story, sharing the breaking news, couldn't help but notice that the ESPN bets advertisement that is always running on that bottom line was nowhere to be found. You know, so in the moments, you pretend that this is shameful. So if it's not shameful, if you don't have anything to be ashamed about, keep it going. Or do you know that your deal with the devil has officially come to claim its bill? There's a little bit of that going on. Absolutely loving today's show. Well, thank you, Collie Biohazard. It's a symptom of late stage capitalism. I mean, it's just, you know, the NBA, it's unfair to say the NBA, the sports world was offered access to a gold mine it had never been allowed in before. And they were warned. Hey, by the way, while you're mining this gold, the entire cave could absolutely collapse on you and everything could go wrong. And sports was like, how much gold? Wait, how much free gold is waiting for us down there? Okay, we'll take that free gold today and I guess just deal with these little fires as they pop on up and we'll put them out when that happens. Adam Silver should be on the fucking warpath as a commissioner today. This is not one of those, I'm just going to sit around and, you know, let the FBI now do my work for me. No, you better get pro the fuck active, and your investigation obviously ain't turning up shit, Adam. It's time for you to start keeping better care of your house. Don't worry about any more in-season tournament bullshit. This is a problem. This is what Adam Silver needs to worry about. This is where Adam Silver needs to say, okay, to show that we still have integrity, I have to take Steve Ballmer, the richest owner in my league, and I got to run him out of town because that guy just got caught red-handed cheating. Am I going to do something about that? Pablo Torre ain't wrong. Again, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck. It's an alligator. No doubt about it. It's time, Adam Silver, to have a league-wide Zoom meeting. I don't know, man. The fact that the NBA didn't know about this last night. I mean, the new NBA logo should what, be an ostrich with his head in the sand? It's really something else, man. Everything that I feared and predicted, it's starting. So how do you do it? How do you just make that clean break? I'm just walking away. Just walking away from all this money. Done with it. There's no chance. There's absolutely no chance that that happens. Again, the money has already been spent. There's nothing to return to the good folks at DraftKings. There's nothing to return to these gambling league-wide sponsors. Money's already spent. The plans for that new practice facility that this is funding? Yeah, dude, we've already bought the lumber. That shit's going up. More money instantly today at all times. That's what every sport is addicted to it right now. That's why private equity is all over. Today, the 49ers are introducing, you know, a new family into their ownership group because they were just able to print their own money by inviting a new family into the ownership group. Zero controlling interest. Just let us take your money so you can call yourselves Niners owners, but you really don't own shit. Get a better parking spot and free shrimp cocktail at the game. By the way, speaking of the 49ers, there's only one thing. We're going to find out more by the end of the day, who practiced, who's playing. Kruger and I will come to you tomorrow morning with a 49er wake up at 9 a.m. West Coast. We will be all over how this matchup against Houston looks and the chances and all that. Who's in? Who's out? Is it Mac? Is Ricky going? Kittle ready to go again? How's Mac, Christian McCaffrey going to repeat that performance? Does Hennessy mean that offensive line repeats that performance? What would that offensive line doing that against Houston, a really good defense, matter to the season? Like, there's a million things to talk about. The 49ers have gone an NFL record 14 straight games without intercepting a pass. Get an interception. Turn the fucking ball over, defense. Come on. That's what I want this weekend. 442 consecutive snaps, according to Josh Dubow of the AP. 442 straight attempts passing against the 49ers defense without one interception. CJ Stroud is going to throw one up for you. Better come down with it this weekend. Again, the weekend officially starts Friday night, game one of the World Series. We got Dodgers, we got Blue Jays. And look, there are a lot of people who are saying, you know what I don't like about baseball? You could just go ahead and buy a championship. Look at all the teams that reach the postseason, and there's no doubt teams that spend more have more of a chance at reaching the postseason than teams that spend less. It's an uncapped sport that feels like there's an imbalance to it just, you know, right as soon as you get out of bed. Oh, so you mean that while I'm spending this on my team, you're spending that on your team over there? Okay. It doesn't sound fair. Well, you know, Major League Baseball can tout something that no other league can tout. If only a few teams are rich enough to win, how come Major League Baseball has had 16 different champions over the last 25 years, which is a greater diversity of champions than any other sport is offering us? This is true. There have been 16 different champions since 2000 in baseball. There have been 14 in hockey. There have been 13 in the NFL. And there have been 12 in the NBA. So even though we say baseball is the biggest rigged card game, no pun intended concerning the rest of today's show, but even though baseball feels like it's set up for only the strong to survive and only the rich to be successful, there's actually a greater diversity of champions there in that uncapped league than in the capped leagues. Major League Baseball actually has the most parity across the four sports since 2000. Who would have bet on that? I wouldn't have. I would have gotten that one wrong. Another thing that's kind of interesting here is that they're also the only league in the last 25 years without a repeat champion. Now, the Dodgers are four games away from twisting that statistic, but that's pretty impressive. Oh, hold on. Speaking of baseball, now, I put a video out about the big, bold hire by the San Francisco Giants, Tony Vitello. You know, he comes from the dugout in Knoxville, first guy ever to be selected to come manage a major league team directly out of college ever. And there aren't a lot of firsts in Major League Baseball. The Giants have found one. Buster Posey found his. My phone rang yesterday afternoon, and it was my buddy Tom Ackerman, who is the sports director at KMOX in St. Louis. He broadcasts on the radio every day. He's the man in St. Louis, my buddy Tom. And he's like, great hire. I was like, I don't know, Tom. I don't know much about him other than, you know, he's got a lot of rah-rah energy. I don't know how much that actually works in a major league dugout. Guy's won an incredible amount of games at the collegiate level, but I don't know what that translates to. I'm not here to crap on it. I'm not here to tell you that the Giants got this right at all. He's like, you know what? You're going to love this guy. I'm like, how do you know? You went to Indiana with me, Tom. You don't know anything about Tennessee Volunteer baseball. He's from St. Louis. The Vitello family is from St. Louis, a huge baseball family in St. Louis. This guy started playing baseball at Mizzou. Mizzou should have hired him as their coach. He just said that this is a guy who is just fantastic. The energy is right. And if you get baseball is baseball, he knows baseball. So the one guy who I actually know who knows Tony Vitello and who's not going to bullshit me about a single thing because there's nothing in it for him, he likes the hire. So, okay, Tom Ackerman, St. Louis, likes the hire. I want to see some baseball before I'm willing to join him out there, but very good voucher, my boy Tom. I guess the press conference to introduce him will be next week after the World Series, I'm guessing. Or certainly in an off day of the World Series. Baseball never likes other headlines trumping what's going on during the day of the World Series. So, interesting morning. Very interesting morning, thanks to an FBI investigation into two separate instances, two different things. Rigged poker games, rigged player props. It centers around the NBA today. Where does this go tomorrow? I'm fascinated. I'm tuning in. Are you ready for a little today in history? Here we go. My kid loves Weird Al Yankovic. What's funny is Jack doesn't even know the songs that he's parodying. He doesn't even know. But the first time he heard My Baloney, he thought it was freaking hysterical. Another One Rides the Bus. He doesn't even know Another One Rides Bites the Dust. But Another One Rides a Bus, he thought it was hysterical. Happy birthday, Weird Al Yankovic. 66 years old today. Weird Al. Kind of an interesting day around the world of sports birthdays today. Doug Flutie, the Heisman winner, Doug Flutie, Boston College, Flutie to Phelan, 63 years old today. What a career he had. Diminutive Boston College quarterback, goes to the CFL, kicks ass up there, comes back to the NFL, is one of the best players the Bills had in a long time at quarterback after the Jim Kelly era. LeVar Ball never lost. Remember that LeVar Ball? Do you remember LeVar Ball was a thing? I mean, God. You know, it felt like he was all over ESPN every 5 minutes. Never lost. With his big baller brand shoes and, oh my God. Those shitty shoes probably shaved years off of his own kids' athletic careers. But I'll tell you what, oh, you got all the LeVar Ball jokes you want. This guy keeps putting kids into the NBA. He's doing something right. He's 58 years old today, LeVar Ball. Ryan Reynolds, 49 years old. There you go. Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, 49. Amelia Clark is 39 years old, better known probably to you as the Unburnt, the Breaker of Chains, the Mother of Dragons. Khaleesi, 39 years old today, Amelia Clark. Nick Bosa of your San Francisco 49ers is 28 years old today. Happy birthday, Nick Bosa. Hope you rehab well. Today in 1935, since we began our day with conversations about the mob and mobsters, well, it was a big day in mobbery. Today in 1935, mobsters Dutch Schultz, Abe Landau, and Otto Berman, and Bernard Lulu Rosencrantz. I wonder how a guy with the last name Rosencrantz gets the nickname Lulu. Anyways, all four of those guys were fatally shot at a saloon in Newark, New Jersey. It became known as the Chop House Massacre. Of all of your massacres, isn't that one of the best names? You know, Valentine's Day Massacre. That's, you know, it's a lot of juxtaposition there, right? Valentine's Day Massacre, you put them together. The Chop House Massacre? I mean, how is that not the most famous massacre of them all? Today in 1941, Dumbo was released in theaters by Disney. October 23rd, 1941. Today in 1958, the Smurfs, a fictional race of blue dwarves by Peyo, was serialized in the French weekly Spirou magazine. Happy birthday, Smurfs. Okay. And then, not the busiest day in history, but one of the most devastating days in history for the CD industry. Compact discs, your time officially started ticking today, October 23rd, 2001. When Apple introduced the iPod. The iPod came out today in 2001. I remember the very first time somebody handed it to me and said, what do you think of this? And I looked at it and I said, what am I looking at? And they said, you are holding, I think, 50 songs in your hand. That was as much as you could fit on that first iPod, right? You couldn't get like, you know, an entire jukebox worth of music on there. It held 50-ish songs or whatever it was. I was like, get out of here. I was like, where'd you get these songs? How did you get the song out of thin air and put them here? He says, well, I downloaded the music. I said, what the fuck does that mean? This was all new to me in 2000. I'm like, I don't know how to download anything. I can't download a PDF file. How are you downloading songs? They're like, check out this thing called Napster. And I was like, what? This can't be real. And it wasn't for a very long time. Either way, good times. I know the person who designed the CD logo that was on every CD and jewel case, Tuba Sun God. I hope they got serious cash for that. I loved CDs. I was a big CD guy. My favorite part of the CD was the actual like CD tray. That was like my little record player. I loved the way it opened smoothly and coming in and out. And then you got your six disc changer. Holy shit. That was a new day to be alive in the world. First time you saw one of those. Michael's like, man, I just rolled with LimeWire after that Napster debacle. There you go. All I can tell you is that I usually call tech support to download anything here too. Jillian, can I get my wife to download anything? The iPod. I mean, the iPod is now what? As rare as an 8-track cassette player? There's nobody still walking around listening to an iPod. You got your iPhone, for goodness sakes. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Gamble responsibly. Check out Sleeper. Check out Ike's. Check out the Dubliner West Portal. And thank you for checking me out here on YouTube once again. It was great having you. Hit like and subscribe if you would. Please get this video to be pushed across the internet with your likes, your comments. Thank you so very, very much for being a part of this. We'll be back at it with Wake Up at 9 a.m. West Coast time, followed by yours truly and Sammy coming to you on a Friday afternoon. Sammy's new schedule means instead of joining us usually on Thursdays, Sammy will now be joining us on Fridays. So that's going to happen tomorrow. I hope the rest of you have an absolutely banger of an afternoon. Thank you so much, though, for tuning in. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. Rigged poker games don't build character. They reveal it. Checking yourself out of a game by banging your own under, pretending that you rolled your ankle 9 minutes into the game doesn't build character. It reveals it. And like that, he's gone.